That's good news. I got to admit, that's good news. But I've got, how'd you like to have some better news? Is there better news than that? There really is. And as we've been unpacking in this series, four gifts. We unwrapped the gift of hope. Last week, Mark unwrapped the gift of love. And this week, we're going to unwrap the gift of joy. And as we do that, now we're doing this for the benefit of those who are joining us online, because those who are already here are aware of this, but we realize you may not be aware of it, but we, of course, every year try to raise funds for a ministry in Tanzania called Shade, and it's a ministry to children, and several of us here have been there, boots on the ground. We actually stood on the ground before the school was ever built, and we prayed. And your giving and your participation has made it possible. Now, you got here in person, you saw a video. If you're online, you can still see that video, but you're going to have to go either on Facebook or on our webpage. And we ask you to hit on the Shade video, and you'll find all about this terrific ministry. We're planning on going back, so some of you may be going with us once the world changes a little bit and allows an opportunity. We're going to do that. The ministry has expanded beyond anything we knew. Originally, just ministering to children with albinism. Now it's enlarging beyond that, and we're reaching an entire community. And the money you're giving this year, which we have 2 weeks to finish raising that amount, is what we need to meet our goal. We're going to be able to throw a Christmas party for the whole community. Would that be something? And share the good news through your generous giving. And then monies that are left over will be buying school supplies, because the vision has changed a little, not just to reach children with albinism, but to integrate them into an environment with children who do not have albinism, so that we do away with the stigma. Because in that culture, of course, these children are looked down upon. And so the long-range vision is to expand the school and integrate with these children and other children. Would you like to be a part of that? Well, you can give, you can pray, and some of you are going to go as soon as the opportunity presents itself. So we want those at home to know of this opportunity. Look at the video online. You'll be able to hear where we're at. And you'll get to see the building that's already been built out of shipping containers. And when you see the video, you'll be amazed. How can those be shipping containers? But they are. We even have a place in Wichita, don't we, on Douglas? Some restaurants made out of shipping containers. So it can be done. In fact, that entire school was built for $50,000. And now we're going to expand it. There's so much things we can do. Our dollars go so much farther. So would you be a part of that, please? And if you'll do that, of course, you'll be able to be part of the good news and the joy that we're able to spread this Christmas season, not just here in Wichita, but around the world. So I hope you can be part of that. Well, we're going to continue on unwrapping these wonderful gifts this week, the gift of joy. And we're going to be picking up with one of my favorite parts of the Christmas story in Luke 2, the 8th verse, chapter 2. This is where we find the shepherds. How many of you have favorite characters in the Christmas story? These are my favorite characters. I mean, I like them all. Don't get me wrong. But I love the wise men, but the shepherds. I really identify with the shepherds. Do you? Because, see, these are the blue-collar workers. These are the third shifters that God chose to use to bring an incredible message of good news. Why shepherds? I mean, if you may not be aware of it, but shepherds in that day were kind of on the bottom rung of society. In fact, they weren't allowed to testify in court. You couldn't trust what they had to say. So why would God pick them? In fact, if your purse came up missing at a party, all eyes would look to the shepherds, because they were known as thieves and pickpockets. And surely it's one of them that did it. You know what I'm talking about? And these are the ones that God chose to bear this great message. And so I identify with this story. I'm going to read it to you. It's going to be on the screen or at home. You'll see it from the New Living Translation, the familiar story that we know. But let's read it again. Luke recorded for us that the night that Jesus was born, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby. They were guarding their flocks of sheep, because that's what shepherds do, right? It was pitch black on the hill. Can you ever been in a place? I mean, we're used to light. I used to have a job, a part-time job you may not know this, but I was a security guard at MBPXL out their plant. You ever been there at night? It's spooky. And I was the only guy there, and I had to walk through this building and turn a little clock. You ever seen that? Man, I'm a grown man, but I tell you what, there were noises I heard that made my heart beat fast. And there, I remember one time something fell on the floor. I like to ran out of there. I'm glad nobody saw me on film. I think it might have been like that for the shepherds that night. It was dark. It was quiet, just the crackling of the fire. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And in the New Living Translation, it says they were terrified. I like that word. Some of you have afraid maybe in your translation, but it's where we get the word megaphobic. I mean, what they're saying is this was mega fear. This wasn't just a little nervousness going on, but they were afraid. In fact, if you ever want to know if you've seen an angel, probably you're going to have this experience, right? Because every time an angel showed up, it was fear not, all right? But this was so startling to them that they had this mega fear. Well, we know the story goes on, and the angels, they reassured them. They comforted them. Hey, calm down, guys. Don't be afraid. Easy for them to say, right? Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. Wow. Well, I don't know about you, but I like good news. You like good news? I love good news. Now, to have good news, two things have to happen. One, you have to have somebody to share the good news, like we experience here. But then somebody needs to receive the good news, be open to it, right? When those two things happen, then that's when we experience this great joy. This good news is an interesting Greek word, and I probably massacre it trying to say it, but I think it's euangelion. I think is how you say it, euangelion. Now, that's a significant word, and when the shepherds heard it, they knew exactly what the angels were saying. It's where we get the word gospel. Gospel is good news. In fact, if you look in the original text, when you see gospel, it will be this word. It means good. It's actually, we get the word eureka from that. That's an exciting thing. This is really good. And it's actually where the second part of the word is where we get the word angel or messenger. And so it would be a good message. And the familiar phrase we hear all the time is good news. And everybody here knows, oh yeah, the good news, that's the gospel. We know all about that. But what you have to understand is when the shepherds heard this, this was not a new word to them. In fact, this word predated the New Testament. It was a very familiar word. It was an imperial Roman term. And whenever a new king took the throne, or when there was a birth of a royal baby, a herald would go out to the villages. And you know what they would say? He would go to share the gospel. That sounds strange to us, because when we hear the word gospel, we think of the gospel, right? But it was a term widely used, and he would go out to share the good news about this birth. Now, you didn't have euangelion for just any news. It had to be really special news. It wouldn't be, you know, hey, did you hear about this sale at Best Buy? Good news. That'd be good. But no, something on a, you would never use it that way. So when the shepherds heard the angels say euangelion, they perked up. That means something special is happening. When Caesar Augustus became emperor over Rome, it was proclaimed as the gospel. It was good news. So this word had highly political and imperial undertones, and the shepherds knew it. So when they heard that news, it wasn't received flippantly. And it makes me think, and you've heard me talk about this before, my brothers and I, when we were young, 11, 12 years old, we had a paper route in St. Louis, in the city. It's not like paper routes today. In fact, we had a busy street corner that was our spot, and we had a metal box set up there. We had a 55-gallon drum that we burned wood in to keep warm, and a truck would come by and dump off a stack of papers. And we would take those papers out, and we would stand on the street corner. Extra, extra. And we would sell these papers for 10 cents, if you can imagine. It was the Post-Dispatch. But this Post-Dispatch, It was published 3 times a day. Can you imagine that? And so the paper, it was either a 1-star, a 2-star, or a 3-star paper. And we would stand on the street corner, and cars would come up. There was a stop sign, so they'd roll down their window. We'd throw in the paper, and they'd give us the money. And we would do that for several hours. And then 2 of us would go and run a business route, and we'd take papers to all the people. And I found out something about news in that day. People love bad news. In fact, you know when we sold the most papers? When John F. Kennedy was assassinated. They couldn't supply us enough papers. And everyone wanted the 3-star paper because it would be the latest news. I found this picture, and I was drawn to it because it looks just like my brother David. Exactly what I showed it to my wife. Does this look like my brother David? It sure does. That's exactly what we would be doing on the street corner, and we'd be declaring that we had a 3-star paper. Well, I'll tell you what. I have some good news for you today, because we have a 4-star news today. It's not 3-star, it's 4-star. And in your bulletin, and if you're at home, you can make your own paper, but in your bulletin, you'll find a place where you can write down. We're going to talk about what makes this good news so good. And we're going to see four things that make this news really good news. And you can follow along in your insert if you would. Let's begin here with verse 10. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." This word joy is an interesting word, kara, and it simply means to be cheerful, to have calm delight, and to be exceedingly full. Does that sound like something you might need? Well, the shepherds understood when, hey, we're going to give you joy, not just any joy, we're bringing you exceeding joy, overflowing, exceedingly full, a calm delight. Actually, something would make us cheerful. Now, what you got to understand about this joy, because we've been taught, joy is our friend the last 6 months, right? We've been looking at joy. Well, remember our definition? A delight in God, right? That's not affected by pain or pleasure. Notice a word that appears in this definition. Does it ring true to you? Calm delight. This is a joy. There's a calm delight. I like to think of it as an inside job. It doesn't depend on your circumstances. See, a lot of you, your joy depends on what's happening outside of you. But really, the problem with that is we can fix your circumstances, but they'll only get broken again. Is that right? You say, okay, we got that all settled. Praise the Lord. We won the lottery. Now our finances are okay. Guess what? You should talk to people who have won the lottery. It doesn't fix it. It doesn't fix it. Because see, it's an inside job that God wants to do on us. And he's wanting to give us a joy, and he's wanting to give it to the shepherds, this calm delight, this exceedingly full joy, this cheerful joy. That's the joy that's coming, which is one of the reasons why this news is so good. It replaces mega fear with mega joy. All right? This good news deals with the fear that we all do. Now, the Bible talks about continually, don't be afraid, fear not, fear not. Fear not. In fact, it says it, I think, almost enough times to fill every day of the year. About 360 times, the Bible says, fear not. I wonder why. Because fear is going to be, I think, a natural default for us. It's part of our nature. But God says, I got some news for you that's going to counteract that fear, and we're going to replace that fear, that mega fear, with mega joy. Right now, with what we're going through as a nation, are people afraid? Do they have mega fear? Oh, my gosh. Oh my goodness. But you have good news that you can bring to them that will be very important in a time like this. Nehemiah 8:10, we know this context well, don't we? How important is this joy, this mega joy? Well, here, the people of God, the book was being opened for the first time in a long time. The priest was reading from the Torah, actually, and people began to hear it and rent their clothes. And here the prophet Nehemiah, he steps forward and he says, no, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods, sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. Man, that sounds like Christmas, doesn't it? He said, listen, this is a sacred day before the Lord. Don't be dejected and sad. Why? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. See, what's wrong? What's happening today, I think, in people's lives, especially when you see them losing their strength, they've always lost their joy. When you lose your joy, you lose your strength. This delight in God. And it can happen during a time like this, and we've been through things like this, other types of things. The enemy always wants to take our joy because he doesn't want you to be strong. Well, this good news will give you that joy. If you really understand the declaration that the angels are about to make, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, this young preacher who he was mentoring, he told him one day, he was a young guy, he said, listen, Timothy, he said, God has not given you a spirit of fear. He said, God hasn't given you that, but he's given you a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Do you see that in that definition? Do you see that calm delight, that exceedingly full joy? See, that's part of that. God doesn't want us to walk in fear. He wants us to walk in this joy. So one of the things that makes this good news so good is it will replace your fear, your mega fear, with great joy. All right? That's the second one. This is important. This good news cannot be stopped. Once it's in motion, no one can stop it. When you think about the Christmas story, right? Were there those that tried to stop it? But they couldn't, could they? This good news. You know why? Because God's in front of the news. He's in front of it and he's behind it. And he always has been. He's in front of all news. You watch the news and you respond to it sometimes with fear or negativity. But you know, he's already in front of that news. And you got to be careful when you take the news that you're experiencing, like you see on TV, you need to filter it through this news. Because this news trumps all other news. This news cannot be stopped no matter what the circumstances are around us. This news stays in place. It's an inside job, right? Genesis 3:15. Think about this. It started in the very beginning. We know the story of the garden, and man falls and sins, and judgment comes, right? Listen to what God said in verse 15, chapter 3 of the book of Genesis. He said, I will cause, he's speaking to the serpent. He said, I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Now think about this for a minute. Most scholars believe you're talking about Jesus coming. And the enemy's going to strike his heel, but he's going to strike his head. He's saying there's going to be a final victory. And this hostility is going to exist. We even see it in the Christmas story, don't we? See, this good news already started, and how soon did it start? God knew man would fall. He's ahead of the news. He had already, before the foundations of the earth, do you understand? This is incredible news. And if that's true, don't put all your weight in the current news of current events, because you serve the God who is before all news. He knows how things are going to begin and end. Did you know he knows the very second you will breathe your last breath? That's the God who brings us this good news. In Luke 2, 1 through 7, we read this story, of course, last week. You know it so well, but it also suggests to us this reality, doesn't it? When the story begins in chapter 2 of Luke, it says, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. You know what's interesting? This Caesar Augustus, you know what the imprint on the coin was? You know what they called him? Son of God. You say, well, that's blasphemous. No, he's talking about his father. His father was set up as a god. And a lot of emperors were. In some of the early writings, they even called him the savior of the world. And so here he is. He's coming forth. And isn't it, don't you think it's humorous even? That this one who claims to be a son of God, God's using them and all the plans. They think they're in charge, don't they? But aren't they actually players in this good news, and they don't even know it? Keep that in mind when you're watching the news. Keep that in mind when things aren't going the way you think they should. Do you know that you have the God of good news who has already been before the news and after the news, and he has a plan and he has a purpose and it's going to happen? In fact, he may even use people who don't even know they're being used. Is that right? He used Babylon. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, right? What about Judas? Judas betrays Christ. Who put that in his heart? What does Scripture say? Satan put that in his heart. Now, that brings me a lot of hope. You know why? That means to me that Satan is stupid. Satan doesn't know what he's doing. Think about it. Would he like to take that back? He probably would once he saw the end result. He thought his plans were going to come against the good news. He thought he would stop it. But in reality, what did he do? He played right into the story, didn't he? And I want you to know that about current events. They're playing right into the story. This good news cannot be stopped. He has ultimate authority over everything. Matthew 16, 18, now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and what did he say? And the gates of hell will not, what? Prevail against it. Some say will not conquer it, will not be able to stop it. Now, sometimes it looks like they are, but they're not. They're just playing into the overall story. Be careful as you look at things on small parts of the timeline. God is looking at the big timeline. And I can tell you, he has all authority. And I can tell you, nothing's going to stop this good news. Nothing and no one. We see the good news prospering in places where it shouldn't. We see even in communist China, the good news, it's finding its way. Why is that? Well, look what the angel said, this messenger. He said, I will bring you good news that will bring great joy to who? Everyone. Everyone. And that's the good news. That's the good part of this good news, that it's for everyone. It's for all people. Do you believe that? In Galatians 2, 1 through 6, I'm not going to read it to you know the story. You know, Paul is going to the Gentiles, right? Is that something new and different? It is, yeah, because everything was focused on the chosen nation, Israel. The Messiah was coming for them. Well, now God's taking this to the world, because that's what the angel said would happen. And now Paul's coming before the leaders of the church, and he's declaring to them what God is doing as he preaches the gospel. The gospel, you in Gilead, I'm preaching to you in Gilead to the Gentiles. That's you and me, if you didn't know that. That's good news for us, isn't it? In fact, the scripture that our couple read to us from Hebrews, have you ever read that in context? Read the verses just before it. It's about the Gentiles coming into the kingdom. That's when that verse was written. You ought to be overflowing with hope and peace and good news because it's come to you. It's for everyone. It's not just for a chosen few anymore. It's for everyone. In fact, Paul even said in that letter, Galatians, he said, He doesn't take favorites. That's what he said. God's not taking favorites with people. He's open to the whosoever. Luke 8, 1, soon afterwards, Luke declared that Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the gospel. Jesus took the good news about the kingdom of God, and he took his disciples with him. What's it mean afterwards? It says afterwards he did this. Well, what happened before that? Well, you know the story. It's in Luke 7. It's when Jesus went into the house and a lady of the evening showed up. Evidently, she had had an encounter with Jesus in some way that changed her life. And what did she do? She began to wash his feet, remember? And she dried his feet with her hair. And remember, the host of the house was not real thrilled about this, was he? What did he say? He whispered, they whispered as they often do. He must not know who this is. He must not know she is a sinner. Boy, we have a bad habit of that, don't we? We see other people's sins. See, my sin looks worse on you than it does on me, right? We often say that. We just look at sin. Sin is sin, folks. Let me tell you. And Jesus began to tell a story about who is forgiven much will love much. And he encounters this woman. And really what he's saying is this message, this good news is for everyone, not just the uppity-ups, but it's for everybody. When I read that story, I thought of a story I heard this last week from Tony Campolo. You probably know Tony. He's a Christian sociologist. And I was reading a book called Unoffendable, and the writer of that book pulled the story out of one of his books. He said that he was in a big city doing a conference, And it was late at night. And if you've ever done a conference, you know, you got to unwind when it's all over. Is that right? You get all tired. It's hard to go right to bed. I have a hard time after preaching going and taking a nap. My wife's saying, yeah, I'm just so wound up, you know. And so he found a little 24-hour coffee shop on the busy street corner downtown. And there was nobody in there, so he slipped in and he said, I'd like to have a donut and a cup of coffee. And the guy behind the counter obliged him quickly and poured him a nice hot cup of coffee. And he was sitting there eating his donut when all of a sudden the door flew open. And in comes a bunch of women. He said, and they were loud and boisterous and even vulgar. They were prostitutes of the evening. And Tony thought to himself, well, I'm just going to take my donut. I'm going to have to leave. This is too much. And then he overheard their conversation. And one of the prostitutes' name was Agnes. And Agnes had declared to the other ladies that her birthday was the following day. And they all laughed and teased her. And said, well, are you going to have a birthday cake? Are you going to have a party? And she goes, well, why start now? I've never had a party. You know, and they laughed. And then they left. And Tony got to thinking about that. And he said to the guy behind the counter, hey, do these women come in here every night? He said, every night, like clockwork. Do you know Agnes? Yep, I know Agnes. Yeah, she comes all the time. He said, well, I overheard them say that her birthday is tomorrow. Yeah, I think we should have a birthday party for her tomorrow night. The guy went, yeah, really? He goes, yeah, let's throw a birthday party for her. Well, the guy got excited. He said, well, I'll bake the cake. He said, okay. And Tony said, I'll go get some decorations and I'll decorate the cafe. So when they come in tomorrow night, it'll be a surprise birthday party. Man, he got excited. Well, you know how talk on the street goes, and didn't take long, and word got around that there was going to be this birthday party. And when Tony showed up to decorate the place, it was full of people. They came for Agnes's birthday party. And so when the ladies came in right on cue, loud and boisterous, as they walked in and Agnes walked in, surprise! And Agnes couldn't believe it. And they had this beautiful birthday cake. And she started to cry. And so, you know, it was just like Tony kind of envisioned it. He was pretty pumped about it. But then Agnes made an unusual request. She looked at her cake and she said, you know, I'd rather you not cut this cake. I want to take it home with me. Show it to my family. In fact, I'd like to take it home right now. Picked up the cake and walked out of the cafe. As Tony said, awkward. Here's a party, the birthday girl's gone, and the cake, and all these people. So Tony thought, what should I do? He did what all preachers do. He got up on a chair, he said, let's pray. And he prayed the gospel over this group in his prayer. He got done, and the guy behind the counter goes, are you a preacher? He said, yes. What kind of church do you pastor anyway? What kind of church do you go to? He said, I go to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes. And the guy said, I want to be part of that church. All right, glory to God. Well, he understood the good news is for everyone, isn't it? You have to clean up first. God takes us. He meets us right where we are. Is that right? Isn't that good news? That kind of change. You need to understand that. That's why it was the shepherds. They were the all people, not the shepherds. Appear to a priest or something, or how about a king? Somebody of nobility, somebody whose word would be trustworthy, not the shepherds. But see, the gospel message is saying something to us, is that this good news is for all people. Matthew 24:14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. You in Gilead. Not just any old news. This is great news. And it will usher in the return of Christ. Is that pretty cool news? Well, let's keep reading. He goes on to unpack this gift. Have you ever had a gift and as you unpacked it, more and more stuff came out? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He says, the angel said, unto you this day is born a Savior. Yes, the Messiah, or you might have the word Christ, which means Messiah. And the Lord. Today is born to you in Bethlehem. Savior, Messiah, Lord. in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him. By this sign, you will find a baby wrapped in snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Here's the fourth good thing about this good news. This is exactly what you need. It's the perfect gift. Have you ever received a perfect gift? What's the words, when you're giving a gift, what's the word you want to see or hear? Well, you want to see and hear. When they unwrap the gift, you want to see a little bit of excitement. And what's the word you want to hear? Man, this is exactly what I needed, right? The Moores were telling me a story after first service today about when Taylor and his little brother were small and their aunt gave them two stuffed animals, little boys. They looked at them and like, Taylor was old enough to know, thank you, Annie. This is wonderful. But his other brother was younger. And you know, younger children, they don't have the filters, do they? They don't know. So the older brother says, this is exactly what I wanted. The younger brother looked at the bear, threw it on the floor. This is exactly what I did not want. Of course, he had got disciplined, didn't he, for that. Yeah. Annie jumps up and says, wait, you didn't look in the car. Because there was a $50 bill in there. Now it's exactly what he needed, wasn't it? Yeah? Sometimes God's gifts are like that. On surface, you think, no. But as you unwrap it, you're going to realize you just didn't know it, but it was exactly what you needed. What is this gift? As we unwrap it, as it unfolds, he says, first off, a Savior is born to us. That's pretty good news. This is great news, isn't it? Jesus. Jesus means God saves. We read that in Matthew, didn't we? Jesus has come to be our Savior. He has come to take away the sins of the world. Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. In Matthew, he said, hey, you'll call him Jesus because he's come to take away the sins of the world. How many of you have been benefactors of this gift? Do you understand? That your sins are forgiven, not because of anything you have done. See, you don't behave yourself into salvation. It is a free gift. Do you believe that? This is a free gift from God. The problem is we receive that gift and then we think we have to behave to keep it. You didn't have to behave to get it. Why do you behave to keep it? It's not an issue of keeping it. It's an issue of unwrapping the rest of the gift and letting it change your life. But your salvation is a free gift from God. And the scriptures declare that Jesus became your sin and you became his righteousness. If you're still trying to become righteous, you're on the wrong ship because you'll never make it. You will never be good enough. They tried. That's what the Old Testament's all about. They tried to be righteous. Paul tried to be righteous and he finally came to the conclusion, I can't. And then he began to understand it's God's righteousness. And once he allowed that to happen in his life, then his life changed, but not because he was trying to work up his salvation or earn his salvation, but it was a gift of God. So right out of the bat, the angels say, this is the gift. This is the euangelion. You have a Savior tonight that's been born. Now, they also knew what that meant. That meant if he's a Savior, then he's a Lamb of God. If he's a Lamb of God, he's going to die. That's what it meant. In fact, we know wise men will come later, and what will one of the gifts be? Embalming fluid. Might as well have been. Myrrh. How'd you like somebody come to your kid's birthday party and give them embalming fluid? That's a terrible gift. No, they knew exactly. That was valuable, of course. But it had the significance of what the mission, that this Savior is going to die, and because he dies by the shedding of his blood, I will have forgiveness of sin. Is that not just the best news you ever heard? My sins right now are as far as the east is from the west. They'll never be brought up against me again. You know the scripture that talks about perfect love cast out all fear? We use that a lot. Well, if you love perfectly, there'll be no fear. You know what the context is? Judgment. You will stand in judgment someday, but you will not be afraid. Because you have been perfectly loved. And perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love covers sin. Perfect love. It's that love that came and brought us a Savior because he knew we couldn't, but he could. And he offered up that gift to us and he is our Savior. Secondly, he said he is Christ. He is Jesus Christ. We say Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus means Savior. Christ means Messiah. It means anointed one. It means the kingdom of God has come. Jesus is Christ. They knew what that meant. They knew when you called, when you used that title, they knew it was the Messiah. So now here we are now and say, well, I'm a Gentile. That's not a big deal. I haven't been hoping for a Messiah. Listen, the Messiah has come for you too. And the kingdom of God, you are part of it. And He is Lord. He is Lord. We got to stop living like victims of our circumstances and live in the good news and know that we are sons and daughters of the King. We are sons and daughters. And that King has all authority in heaven and on earth. You need to start watching the news that way. You need to start filtering your life through that truth, through that good news. Stop letting the bad news take your good news. Take the good news and filter out the bad news and know that we have a mission. We are part of something much bigger than ourselves. It started way before you were ever born, and you're part of the story. But your problem is, and we all have it, is we only see right here in front of our noses. But you got to know you're part of something big. Stop acting like that's not true. And the reality is you're part of something wonderful. This is the good news. You're part of it. And lastly, he calls him Lord. Lord, that's the Greek word kurios. And those shepherds knew exactly what that word meant. It's the word used to bring from the Hebrew Yahweh into the Greek. They're saying that Jesus is God. Whoa. Jesus is God. So he's my Savior. He's my Messiah. He is God Emmanuel, God with us. This news changes everything. You know, this is mega news. And what should be the effect of this news? What happened to the disciples? Or the, I keep going, the shepherds. Maybe they became disciples. I don't know. But the scripture says that after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. So what happens to us when we really have this good news in proper perspective, we're not going to sit on it, are we? Do you sit on good news? Was it hard for you to share the good news with your parents and grandparents? Yeah. Oh, this is going to be hard to tell them about this good news. They're just going to... No, they're going to be elated, aren't they? Eureka! Eureka, that kind of experience, right? See, do you feel the same way about the good news? Connie and I were invited to dinner this week over to the Stringers' home. They do something I really like. They invite their neighbors over for dinner, and then they invite their pastor to come so their neighbors can meet us. Just a dinner. Oh, by the way, my pastor's here. I want you to meet him. Just a friendly dinner. I like that. See, you make it too hard. You make it too hard. We just got to show up and be part of people's lives, throw birthday parties. Why? Because you got the good news. You got the good news. You shouldn't be holding back. If anything, you should be stepping up your game. And with all the restrictions we're experiencing now, if there's ever a time people would be open to good news, it might be now. And if you have trouble talking to people, why don't you just start, hey, did you hear? I heard some good news. I've got some great good news for you. People want to hear good news. They'll listen to you. And I sure appreciate Mary's response. We know that as a shepherd shared the good news, the crowd, the people they talked to were astonished, but look what Mary did. Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. I want you to think about this as we come to communion today. Did you ever think about this? The shepherds came to speak a prophecy over Mary, the mother of Jesus. They came to declare to her, euangelion. Euangelion. They came to tell her. She knew that word too. The gospel, the good news. They came to tell her. She knew the Savior part, but did she know the Messiah part? Did she know the Lord part? I don't know. But when she heard that, and have you ever heard things like sometimes you go, don't throw them away. She hid them in her heart and says she pondered them, thought about them a lot. I wonder, when she stood at the cross, did she remember the shepherd's words? When she watched her son be crushed, did she think about them? Savior, Messiah, Lord God. I wonder if it brought her strength. Because see, that's what the good news does. It lifts us. And could it even bring great joy and make sense out of life as you're experiencing it right now? We need to act like the people we are because we've heard the good news. Amen? We're going to prepare our hearts. And we ask those at home, if you'll join us, get some bread, some juice. We're going to invite you to this table too. This is the table of the gospel. This is the table of the euangelion. The good news. It's right here. And we're going to celebrate it today. And we're celebrating it just like the shepherds did. They couldn't contain it, and neither should you. I mean, they were so excited, they told everyone, now wait a minute, these are people you can't trust what they say. They threw away all their inhibitions, didn't they? Because it was so exciting. Has the good news lost its wow in your life? I believe we can do just what the disciples, just like the video we saw. Some news is not, you just can't contain it. And I hope God will bring that back. Mike, you texted me a text last night. You said, my joy is being healed. Man, I don't know if you realize what you texted me. My joy is being healed. I went, yes, God wants to heal our joy. Is your joy wounded? Have you lost the mega joy? We need to get it back. Now that you say that, you know, the shepherds, they had an angel. I could do it if I had an angel. Yeah, that would motivate me. How about you? What do we got? We got the Holy Scriptures. We got the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Can we be just as motivated? I believe we can. Make this Christmas season the time to declare the good news. Father, we thank you for the opportunity this morning to come to this table. As we come, we hear the words that the shepherds heard. We hear the words that were declared to Mary, and we too want to hide these things in our heart, and we want to think about them often. We want to think about them when we're watching the news. We want to think about them, Lord, when we get that pink slip. We want to think about them, Lord, when maybe we're battling a virus or sickness in our home. We want to think about that, Lord, when we lost a loved one or we have great disappointment in our life. We want to think about these things, Lord. This news changes everything. And we celebrate it today at this table. Thank you for being our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to give an invitation even to those who are at home. If you're watching us or if you're here present, you say, that's pretty cool news, but I've never acted on it. And today, I believe God is calling you to this gift. And He wants you to know how much He loves you. And He's paved the way for you. He's paid the price for you. But again, He wants you to receive it and believe. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. This gift is for everyone. This good news cannot be stopped. This good news will exchange all your fear for joy. This good news is perfect and it's just for you. But like any gift, you got to receive it. So we give you that invitation today to offer yourself to the Lord and let Him begin that work in your life. Amen. And if you're already here and you've done that, but you say, you know, I've lost the wow of the good news and I want to get that back in my life. This is a great time to do it this season. Just ask God, say, Lord, just ignite, heal my joy. I like that. I'm going to hang on to that. Maybe you need to say that day, Lord, just heal my joy. Heal my joy, Lord. It has to do with this good news. Recapture it again, will you? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for those who are listening to us online today. And I pray your presence will be real to them. And that we can experience what the shepherds experienced that night. And that we can know what Mary knew. And that we'll hide these things in our heart. And we'll think about them often. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. We'll be here to pray with you. Please take your liberty. I'll wear my mask. I'd be honored to pray with you. Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.